And now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
And welcome to another episode of the E-Town Lowdown featuring your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick. I'm Rick, and I am proud to introduce my co-host, Robbie, to introduce our special guest for today.
Our special guest today is the mayor of Elmhurst, the Honorable Steve Morley. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Love having you here today, Mayor Morley. And we also have our producer extraordinaire, Mr. PK, with us. Say hello, PK.
Hey, glad I could join you.
Mayor, we'd like to start off by hearing your Elmhurst story and how you got to be here in Elmhurst. Were you born here? Did you move here? Please tell us your Elmhurst story.
I'd be happy to fill you in on that. Rick, is it?
It is, Rick.
You know, I would suggest that you guys get a larger hot tub since PK and I have to stand outside while you guys sit in the hot tub.
Nobody's going to believe you're outside the hot tub here in January, Mayor.
I'm just throwing that out there. Yes, I was born and raised here in Elmhurst. My parents bought a house here in 1966, I believe. And I was born in 68 at the Elmhurst Memorial Hospital, which no longer exists. And went through... The old Elmhurst Memorial on
the
Berteau. The building no longer exists. Yes. It's 56 wonderful brand new homes all paying taxes.
Yeah. But there's a wonderful hospital on the south side now serving the community of Elmhurst.
Where you always save more money.
Ba-dum-bum.
They didn't carry that over. I went to Edison grade school. Trilby Porter was my kindergarten teacher. I went to Sandberg Junior High, where Mr. Henderson was my homeroom teacher. I think seventh grade, maybe.
Who was a principal at Edison when you were there?
At Edison. The first year I was there, it was an older woman with white hair. And then
that narrows it down. Thank you.
After that, Milt Honnell, the Honorable yes. Milt Honnell, for the remaining 5 years of my career.
Milt Honnell was the principal at Washington School for a few years before he went to Edison.
And then I was in the fifth grade class when they closed Washington School and merged. And I remember there's three women that showed up, women from the fifth grade. Carly Cashin, mm-hmm. Mindy Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret Renault.
Know all three of them.
And they all kind of frighten me when they show up, quite frankly. They still do to this day.
I still see Margaret quite a bit. She's my parents' neighbor. And why did she frighten you?
You know, women have frightened me my whole life.
Physically or?
You name it, Bob. I haven't figured them out, and I'm pushing 50. I'm sorry, Bobby?
Robbie.
I know that Margaret and Mindy live in town. I'm not sure what happened to Carly Cashin. I believe she moved out of town.
Carly Cashin was a neighbor of mine also.
She moved out of town, I want to say, maybe 2 or 3 years after that.
So you went on to Sandberg Junior High. Do you remember the theme song, the fight song? It's basically the Notre Dame.
I believe it was Notre Dame. Cheers
for Sandberg Junior
Sandberg
High.
Sandberg Junior High, yes.
Right.
Was Mr. Dick still there? He taught social studies?
At Sandberg.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Dick was there. Let's see who else was there. Miss Jackson was there. She taught English.
Yes.
And a little story about Miss Jackson. I had an older brother, Mark. Still have him, by the way. 2 years older than me. But he, to give you an idea of my older brother's academic prowess at the time, he had to write a book report for Miss Jackson once in her English class. And he opened up the inside cover and copied the synopsis of the inside of the book for his book report. And
hope you got a good grade.
Miss Jackson cracked the code. She figured it out and busted him on it. And she used that as an example of what not to do for all of her future classes. And she was still using it when my younger sister, 4 years afterwards, had her. And I know that my mother was not too happy that my brother's name lived in infamy.
Did she make him stand up in front of the class, use an example that way?
No, I think she just berated him verbally.
Nice.
So you moved on from Sandburg Junior High, as it was called back then, now Sandburg Middle School.
Was there a derogatory nickname for that school?
Sandburg?
Sandbox.
Okay. Just Sandbox. Wanted to see if you guys
I
knew
think,
that.
I think you knew that already, though, didn't you?
Lived in the hood, so and, I knew the nickname. Yeah.
You matriculated on to York Community High School.
Do we have a bell for word of the day? Bing.
Matriculated.
Okay.
Do. And you graduated in 1986, correct?
That is correct.
And tell us about your high school experience.
My high school experience.
And any activities or athletics you were involved with.
You know, I was a small kid when I was a freshman at York High School. I specifically remember my summer before my freshman year. There was a woman, a young gal, lived across the street from me. We were the same age. Her name was Paula Dudas, and she had a swimming pool. So I spent a lot of time over there. And the day before we went to high school, our freshman year, we decided to jump on the scale. And I'm embarrassed to say that as a freshman, I was 5 feet tall, 87 pounds. And I remember that specifically because Paula was 89 pounds, weighed more than me.
I have garden tools that weigh that much.
Well, I've made up for it. I know this isn't a visual show, but I'm no longer 87 pounds.
6'2"? No, you're not.
Brian Urlacher, that's what you look like.
I'm under height is what the problem is.
So you were not a nose tackle on the football team?
I was not. You know what I did? I was on the swim team. Where they don't measure you by weight.
How'd they measure you against other golfers, Danny?
By height? Okay. I actually was on the wrestling team for a little bit because, you know, they segment that a little bit. I had the unfortunate problem.
You could have been on the badminton team as the birdie.
The problem I had in wrestling is there was a gentleman a year older than me that was the same weight named Ken Kripe, all-state wrestler. Ken used to kick the snot out of me every practice. In fact, once a week, our coach, Coach Mitchell, used to make us wrestle off. It was Coach Mitchell, and then Coach Clark was his sidekick at the time.
Coach Clark.
Terry Clark.
A long time.
Clark. Yeah. I think he just retired this year, maybe last year.
Was Grider still there in the wrestling?
Grider and his hair. Can you see my motion?
I can. The comb over.
He is the definition of a comb over. He was there.
Wow.
So I wrestled behind Ken Kripe. He would stick me in less than 30 seconds every week. And then senior year, as far as it relates to the wrestling story, I got mono. So I had no problem making weight.
Who else had mono at the same time you did?
I didn't pass it along to my girlfriend at the time. Sandy, last name, I can't remember, for her sake.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure. So,
wow,
I'm
sure that's politically correct. That.
I also played tennis with Mr. Sir, Bill Sir.
Sure. Still
and
in town.
Bill Sir's still around?
He was at Sandburg as well for a while, wasn't he?
Was he a Sandburg teacher?
He was. He was at Sandburg when I was at Sandburg.
And
he
Mr.
was a basketball coach.
Mr. Edmond. Yes, I remember. Inman.
Inman. Yes, Coach
Inman. Oh, Inman. He was a scary coach. A little blonde-haired guy with the broom mustache. Yelled at us all the time.
He was my basketball coach.
He did quite
Never
a few.
Never yelled at me.
He checked, did some
jock.
Jock checks a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, what was with that? Was that an Elmhurst thing? The jock checks in school?
I don't know.
We'll move on, please.
Yes, please. So, Mayor, where did you hang out in high school?
Where did I hang out? High school was probably a time where...
Here's a story.
Maybe I didn't do a lot of hanging out. I had a couple of girlfriends. We used to go to dinner and movies a lot.
A couple girlfriends.
Well, one or two.
Oakbrook, Yorktown, the York?
I'd go to the York. You know, the theater wasn't as big back then. Where else would we go? Like I said, in the summertime, I had a neighbor across the street with a pool.
Did you go bowling?
I was on a bowling league when I was a young fella. I guess maybe it was the York still around? Not the York, the Elm. When did that get torn down?
The Elm Roller Rink?
Yeah,
that's right.
The Elm Roller Rink.
Those were both in the early 90s?
Yeah,
so it was around.
Occasionally would do that. Yorktown was a big trip. Yorktown was something special to go to. I actually...
So let's just say you didn't get out a lot. Watched a lot of Brady Bunch, Partridge Family.
I was more Brady Bunch than Partridge Family. And I used to work at the water slide.
Ebenezer Flop and Slopper.
Yes. Yeah. So did a lot of hanging out there. Actually, there was probably some we used to hang out there and listen to music after it was closed.
So you went there after hours?
Well, worked there during hours and then just didn't let anybody in.
Okay.
What did you do after hours?
Hung out and listened to music and talked about everybody who had been at the park that day.
So let's say we were to interview some of your classmates. What would they have said about you back then? Were you destined to be mayor of Elmhurst, for instance?
I think they'd say who?
Okay.
I think I fit in the category of forgettable when I was in high school.
You were staying under the radar.
I was kind of under the radar. I was, like I told you, I wasn't a very big kid. And York was, York's a pretty big school. You don't want to get on the wrong side of people.
It's so intimidating. It can be very intimidating.
I go along to get along. I don't know. I'm not sure a lot of people. You know who does remember me?
Your mother.
My mother is one. You know, it's a small list, PK, but you did hit on the one person who does. Dennis Rebelletti, our very own Dennis, former state representative. Sure. Dennis and I were in the same class. Same class in high school and actually had a couple of classes together in school. So,
and what would Dennis have, if we were to ask Dennis about you back then?
Dennis would probably say, I thought I was a strange kid, and then I met this Morley kid and knew I was okay.
Okay. So then you you graduated from York.
Can I back up?
Sure.
Siblings?
I have an older brother, Mark, and a younger sister, Kim. Mark was 2 years older. Kim was 2 years younger. And then I have an older brother and sister from my dad's first marriage, so half-brother and sister, Tom and Terry Sue. They live in California.
Okay.
So you went on to attend the University of Iowa.
I did.
And why Iowa?
Okay. You know what? The one thing I didn't want to do is I did not want to go to the University of Illinois. I think some kids at York, at the time, a big chunk of kids went down to Illinois, and I just wanted to try something different. And I applied to Indiana, and I applied to Iowa, and I can't
remember. Rejected.
Did you ever go to Illinois for the science fair when you were in grade school?
I did not, PK.
No. Just asking, because that's my theory. Kids who go for the science fair then don't want to go to college there.
No, I did not. What happened was, I think they still do them. They have these things called CLEP tests. I'm not sure if they did AP tests when I was in high school.
Were those interest related or something?
You know what it was is, whether it was math or science or whatever it was, if you took the test, you could get certain credits at the school you were going to. And the way the schedule lined up, I happened to go to Iowa for a visit. And I had never been there before. You know, it wasn't like it is now, where everybody takes your kids.
Studies?
Certainly. But you take your kids and you tour a bunch of colleges, and it's all this. It was all done by mail. You never visited where you were going to go. If you were lucky, you maybe went to the one school you determined you would go to first. You might go to one trip. So I was a little bit up in the air. But the CLEP test thing came in from Iowa, and I drove out there with a guy named Mike Lozer, York 86. And took the CLEP test.
You did well on the CLEP test, and then you went there with Mike Loser?
Well, Robbie, he tested positive on the klepto test.
I think PK's earphones aren't picking up everything I'm saying.
That's correct.
CLEP test, PK.
CLEP. Not CLEP. And then Loser.
Mike Loser.
Okay. Sorry, Mike.
So I went there, and if you've ever been to Iowa City, it's you turn off. It's about 3 hours of cornfields.
I spent a week there one night.
It's about 3 hours of cornfields from here, and you basically it's a straight shot, and then you take a left and you go into Iowa City, and it's amazing. You come down this highway and you come along a river, and there's kind of a valley, and the whole town lays out for you. And I was amazed. I was kind of taken aback. The only college I'd been to at that point had been Illinois State, which is a very nice place, Pub 2 and Avanti's and all that. I'm a big fan.
No river, though.
No river, a lot of concrete. And I took the CLEP test. I fell in love with the town. About 3 weeks later, I got a letter in the mail that said I get 12 credits for, I don't know what, English or science or something.
That's like three or four classes, right?
Yeah. And I turned to my mom. I said, I think I know where I'm going to school.
Nice. So, why did you pick economics as your major?
You know, interesting story. As PK is giving me the look. I actually was going to be...
They're all interesting, Your Honor.
I'm trying to keep you awake, PK. I was actually going to be a doctor. I have some doctor lineage in my family, and I was supposed to be the next chosen one to be the doctor.
Like Ruth Westheimer?
More biological than psychological.
Oh, okay.
And
Dr. Kevorkian?
I signed up, not yet. I signed up for chemistry and all the stuff you're supposed to sign up for. And then I can't remember if it was my first semester freshman year or second semester freshman year. You kind of do a candy striper tour of the hospitals and you volunteer. And I don't know if you gentlemen are aware, but hospitals are filled with sick people. And kind of freaked me out a little bit. Grossed me out a little bit. And it was kind of a come to Jesus my first year in college.
How many years did it take you to figure that out, by the way?
You know, maybe I wasn't
hospitals
cut out.
filled with sick people.
Wait, you stopped that because you were afraid of sick people and then you got into politics?
No, I got it was just gave me the heebie-jeebies. It was tough to walk in. And that was it's easy to walk into a chemistry class or a biology class, but to actually walk into the hospital and the people and the smell and the it just let me put it this way. I switched out my beginning of my sophomore year, switched out of pre-med and went through a couple of majors, marketing and it was finance, marketing, and then I ended up in economics. I actually took a class on transportation. I know this just sounds boring, but it was actually quite interesting to me. And here I am. I do have an economics degree from
the University.
It's a good
thing you didn't stick with marketing because you'd never use that.
And no. you were a brother at the Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity, correct?
I was.
And did you enjoy that experience?
I did. You know, it was very interesting. I rushed. I was a late rush. I rushed my junior year. I had a bunch of friends when I first got to school there, and a whole bunch of them graduated when I was a junior. When I was a sophomore. Out of my core group of eight people, like five of them graduated, and I was living in an apartment. I was moving somewhere else, and I thought, well, I'll give this a try. And I rushed as a junior, and it was a fantastic experience. And I actually still have friends from that fraternity.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the E-Town Lowdown.
Hi, Scott Lamort here, drum major of the world-famous Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and you are listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts, Robbie and Rick.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst E-Town Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
We're back on the Lowdown with Elmhurst Mayor Steve Morley. Steve, you served two terms as a Sixth Ward Alderman here in Elmhurst, and tell us a little bit about that experience and maybe some of the success you had while Alderman.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't see is there's a lot of negotiation that happens. And myself and Chris Healy were actually able to, and the only two of us out of 14. We've got 14 aldermen, that's a lot. Chris Healy and I were actually able to, I mean, the city was in tough shape. This was 2007, 2008, and our fund balances were heading down. And Chris Healy and I were able to negotiate down, quite frankly, the tax increase that was coming. There was a certain group of folks who wanted it to be at one level, and we knew that they had a majority. We knew they had a majority, but what we didn't want to do is just kind of be a clanging gong and not get anything done. So we actually worked with a whole bunch of aldermen, and we were able to reduce the tax levy that was coming in. We knew there was going to be an increase, but we reduced it. The other thing that we did is Tom Borchert was the city manager when I was first elected. Tom Borchert was first started as an engineer in Elmhurst, and he was city manager for the last 28 years of his career. Town wouldn't be what it is today without Tom Borchert.
Fine gentleman.
Fine man. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
But during his transition, the town had not had a different city manager for 28 years. And during his transition, things were getting a little rocky. We weren't sure what was going to happen. And I actually pushed something through and made a motion to do a hiring freeze during the transition. And it really smoothed a lot of things out. Avoided any appearances of impropriety.
So in other words, the hiring freeze before
Mr. Borchert left.
Okay, and before his successor.
And before his successor came on. And what it really did is, because there was a lot of stuff in turmoil at that time, what it really did is it allowed staff and the council to concentrate during the transition period to certainly make the right decision. Ultimately, we hired Jim Grabowski, who's doing a fantastic job. Taking the personnel issue off the table, I think, was very good. So, and then working with the residents, to answer your question, got to know a lot of folks in the 6th Ward. That's one of the best things about ward politics. We have 7 wards in town, so it's really neighborhoods. Just getting to know everybody on every block.
So, you know, I happen to know that Elmhurst has more aldermen than virtually all of the cities in the state of Illinois, except for Chicago. And one or two others, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
You know, there's good and bad about it. There's sometimes a lot of times people want to have their say. And when there's 14 aldermen, there's 17 elected officials total from a city side. You have a treasurer, a clerk, and a mayor, and then you have 14 aldermen. So sometimes things last longer. Sometimes meetings last longer. But I will say this. You really can't say that we don't vet every decision we make, because out of 14 people, you're usually going to have a couple of people on one side of a conversation and people on the other side. So we do vet everything. It makes things a little difficult sometimes. But there's a cost to transparency, and we try to do everything we can to be transparent, but it's time and money.
Speaking of cost, what is your mayoral salary? I realize it's hardly anything, but what is it?
You know, I
should
know this.
Just approximately.
Well, you know what it is? Technically, I'm the mayor and the liquor commissioner.
Okay.
And I pull down 2 salaries. I don't want people to be alarmed. But together, they add up to just over $8,000 a year.
And would you be willing to tell us approximately what it costs you to get elected?
Well, during this last election, it didn't cost me anything.
That's because there was no opponent. You just declared yourself emperor, correct?
I did. I say that either I made the job look so miserable that nobody wanted to throw their hat in the ring, or they think I'm doing an okay job. So,
but on average, what does it cost for a mayoral race when you're opposed?
I would say on average for a mayoral race, realistically, the low end's going to run you about $30,000 to $35,000.
Okay. Anybody have a question there? Why?
Yes.
Why do you want to be mayor?
It's a bad investment, it sounds like.
You know what? I got to tell you, it's very exciting. It's very satisfying, especially in the town that you grew up in, to make a difference. I wanted to make a difference. You know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer. I can't give back in that sense, but I'm a businessman, and the city is run like a business. And, you know, I've been kind of, I'm one of those people who writes down their goals. I always have lists and lists and lists, and I write down my goals. And my wife and I went through a tough period about 10, 15 years ago. The raccoon, right?
Yes.
My wife had a health challenge about 10, 15 years ago, and knock on wood, everything's great. But at the time, we were going through our goal list and my goal list, and she goes, you know, I think you should run for alderman. I know it's on your list. And sure enough, I looked it up. And on my list said, run for alderman. It didn't even say become alderman or anything. It said, run for alderman. So I ran. You know, up until then, I'd been yelling at the TV whenever the news is on. And I really do enjoy back and forth. I like talking politics because usually I know where I stand on politics. But I really don't know where the other folks stand. Someone who has an opposite opinion. I'm very interested to hear how that happens. So
How anybody could disagree with your position?
Most of the time, that's how I feel. But so I joined, I ran as an alderman and was really amazed. You know, I would say 80% of the people in town aren't familiar with the elected officials and they just go about their business and that's fine. And Elmhurst runs fantastic.
Where is the 6th Ward, by the way?
6th Ward is the southeast corner. So basically York and Vallette, you know where Hamburger Jones is?
Yeah.
Basically everything south of there and east of York Road.
Gotcha.
That's for the most part. It kicks over a little bit, kind of over by Bryan Junior High. But I really enjoyed it. I ran. I was elected. And then we had kind of a unique situation. I was not planning on running for mayor. We had a fantastic council. Pete DeCiani was mayor. But then Pete decided to throw his hat in the ring and run for county board. And there was a consensus on the council that we did not want a mayor, as much as we enjoyed Pete, we did not want a mayor on the county board and mayor at the same time. We did not want that person to hold two jobs. So, and ultimately Pete came around to that. He got elected and he moved on. So there was a void. If Pete had stayed mayor, I would not have run for mayor. But there was kind of a void. And I joked that, and we had a great council at the time, a lot of good, productive people. And I joked that we had a, you know, we all kind of met and they said, hey, who wants to be mayor? Take one step forward. And I was the only one not smart enough to take a step backwards.
So, Mr. Mayor, what was your worst city council meeting? Tell us about what happened.
My worst city council meeting. I don't mean to bring the podcast down. My worst city council meeting, I would say this, honestly, I had attended sometimes on the city council, at the city council, we're videotaped, we're on TV, and sometimes some aldermen want to get their point across, and other times I believe that some aldermen just want to talk to the camera. And I had the very unfortunate experience of attending a funeral for an Army veteran literally moments before the council meeting. And it was somebody who had it was a former alderman's son who had been killed in the line of duty. And I got to tell you, it was the most difficult meeting I'd ever had because I was not paying attention. It's one of those things, what's important in life, and certainly family and your kids. And it was just a very difficult meeting for me. I know it's not a politically difficult meeting. It was just a very difficult meeting for me to concentrate and not be a little resentful for some of the rhetoric I was hearing when I just attended a funeral. So,
wow.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about what type of calls do you get from the residents?
I get a lot of calls. I would say two types of calls. There's either a cause that comes in. So there's a cause that's rising up in the community, whether or not we want to use organic beet juice or something for ice removal or something of that nature. Or it's something have to do with the infrastructure in Elmhurst. So usually it's either cause or it's something that's broken in Elmhurst. And I would say that at least half of the time it's something that's broken in Elmhurst, whether it's a water main or a tree that needs to be removed. Or light that's out. And I say this, we've got a fantastic public works group. They are 24/7, 365 days a year. Doesn't matter. If something's broken in Elmhurst, they have to fix it. And I tell people, from the time that I get a call that something's broken and I contact the right people in Elmhurst, I would say 50% of the time I get a call from a resident saying, hey, thanks, Mayor. Thanks for making that call because it's all worked out. And I haven't even gotten to the person.
It's pretty satisfying, isn't it?
It really is. I tell you what, the folks in the staff in Elmhurst are on it. They're really on it. So it really makes my job easy. And I'm the first person to say when somebody says thank you is that it's a team effort.
For, you know, along the lines of always wanting to improve, there were some pretty exciting news recently from our neighbors to the west in Villa Park that Money Magazine named them one of the top 10 places to raise a family, and I just wondered what we in Elmhurst might be doing to make sure that we're as good as Villa Park.
Well, I'm unaware of that designation
that's
by Villa Park. Well, I think that's wonderful for them. I know that in the past couple of years we've been ranked one or two in the state of Illinois in terms of where to raise a family. by a couple of realtor organizations, consistently in the top 10.
You do realize my tongue was in my cheek, don't you?
I'm just telling you how great Elmhurst is, Rick. There was
an article like that, though. But
true.
There was Money also Magazine. Something recently about Schaumburg being the best place. And, Bob, you know, everybody gets a shot.
Everybody does get a shot. I can tell you this, though. Growing up in town, there's a big difference. If you know, occasionally we get people who come back who haven't seen what it is. I can tell you what. I went to dinner with my wife most recently on a Tuesday night. And I can't remember what restaurant we went to. It was downtown. And
you mean uptown?
Thanks for the correction. I call it downtown too. PK, yeah. Thanks for the correction.
We went uptown.
And Tuesday night, you know what it was? It was Tuesday night. We went to Pots of the Pizza, and it was just jammed on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
So Elmhurst really has come a long way since it was Chapin's and Sue Cups when I was a kid.
So when you travel, when you're on the road, who carries the football with the nuclear codes?
Well, we have a lot of folks who carry that card. It's a laminated card. You wouldn't believe it. It's pink. Sometimes I hand it to the city manager, Jim Grabowski, but he doesn't like carrying a pink card, so I give it to Mike Kopp.
And occasionally, Mike doesn't mind.
You know what? Kevin York likes to carry it, and he walks around town in his bike shorts.
Scary.
But, one of the four of us usually has
which will deter people from coming near him.
You know what? It's like, it's like oil and water when he's walking around in those things.
Before we take a quick break, would you, tell us a little bit about the honor you had last year of being the Grand Marshal of the Elmhurst St. Patrick's Day Parade?
It was fantastic. It really was. Jim O'Connor and his entire group run a great parade. We've had the governor, I think, for the last 3 or 4 years in a row. It's an honor to represent Elmhurst. The parade really is kind of, whether we're ready for it or not in Elmhurst, it kicks off spring. A lot of people have a good time. Hopefully we have good weather. I ended up at Silverado, our very own Silverado, where my son used to work before he went to college. And they have a beer garden every year, and I was with the governor. We could call him Iron Bladder if we wanted to, because he had 5 beers while we were standing there and never left once.
Wow.
Shared a cigar with myself and Chairman Cronin, and it was a fantastic time.
One cigar? 3 guys?
No. You know what had happened is as part of every time the governor shows up, I have a little I have like a 20-minute reception for him before the parade starts, and I give him a little gift. And I can't remember who. Somebody gave me a great idea to give him a lighter with a Harley Davidson lighter with engraving on it. It might have been Jim O'Connor, and also some cigars. And the governor was so excited. He usually takes the gifts, and you can see he's never going to see them. He goes, "Oh, these are great," and he hands them off to his people. He pulls out the lighter, goes, "This is great," and he looks at me, goes, "I'm actually keeping this one," and he puts it in his pocket. And then we gave him some cigars, and sure enough, at the end of the parade, he pulls out the cigars and the lighter, and we had a good time.
Does he drive a Harley?
He does.
He does.
Oh,
he does.
And Jim O'Connor does know the way to a man's heart.
Yeah. He does. Let's take a quick break here at the E-Town Lowdown. We'll be right back with Elmhurst Mayor Steve Morley.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything, unlike anything.
Today we have a new segment on the Eat Down Lowdown with Yodeling Robbie. He's gone mobile. Today's guest is Mr. C. Gar Butts. He is the park ambassador at Goose Poop Field at Eldridge Park. Now, let me talk to you a little bit, Mr. Butt.
Oh, please call me Gar. My friends call me Gar, so you can call me Gar.
Are there any impacts to your health having a job like you have?
I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, I'm in charge. I'm the park ambassador.
Any skin irritations or special growths?
From what? I don't understand. What are you getting at?
I just want to make sure you're healthy and there's no exposure for the city.
Exposure for what?
In case you get sick.
From what?
Goose poop.
There's no goose poop. There's no goose poop in Goose Poop Park. It's just a name. There's no geese over here.
Well, I think you ought to go back there now.
No. There are no geese at Goose Poop Park. That's a myth. It's a myth, and don't believe it. Do not believe it.
Well, I've been there, and I've seen them, and I believe we just heard
I
them.
Smoke a lot of cigars, okay? I smoke a lot of cigars, and occasionally I leave the butts laying around.
Ambassador Butts, let me ask you a question here. What do you do with the poop after you pick it up?
I don't pick up any poop, sir. I don't. Now, any poop that just may happen to fall by happenstance, the little boys and girls of the soccer leagues, they pick it up.
Well, they pick it up for you.
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I know that there's no goose poop in Goose Poop Field. It's just a name.
Then why do you draw a paycheck?
I'm the park ambassador. I am the ambassador of the park. What don't you understand about that?
Let's move on. Do you have to wear any special equipment, any hazmat suits or anything like that?
Well, I got my Carhartt on and my boots. What else do I need?
Oh, that'll work. Nothing better. Do you have any special insurance that you need?
Insurance? Ain't got no insurance.
No, insurance.
That's what I said, insurance.
Okay.
Ain't got no insurance.
We'll move on, Mr. Butts.
But I said, please call me Gar.
Okay, Mr. Gar.
Thank you.
Ambassador Gar. Are there any city waivers that you have to sign to actually do your job?
Well, I waved to her, and I waved to him, and mostly her, though.
Very good. Who is your backup when you're sick or something happens to you, you're on vacation? Who picks up the goose poop then?
My lady friend helps me.
So you don't take her on vacations with you?
Well, I do. I'm to Berwyn.
That was one of my questions. Where would you go on vacation?
Berwyn.
Do they have geese there as well?
There's no geese in Elmhurst in the first place.
I don't know what you're talking about. Berwyn. We move to Berwyn.
There may be geese there. What you getting at?
All right, we're going to move on to something else. Salaries. You draw a salary for apparently doing nothing. And can you tell me when your last salary increase was?
I'm a volunteer.
Oh,
I just get paid nothing to be a park ambassador. What don't you understand about that? I go down there. It's the only place in Elmhurst other than Sugar Crack Golf Course where I can smoke a cigar in the park.
I think that's Sugar Creek Golf Course.
Whatever.
Now, really, how many hours a week do you work then?
Work. I volunteer. I told you that.
But you draw a salary. I've seen the city records. You draw a salary.
Hey, you got proof of that, buddy? You ain't got no proof.
Ambassador Gar, it's public record. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but we're going to, my attorney's advising me to not say much more.
This is going to really pull at your heartstrings. Do your kids aspire to follow in your footsteps?
Kids? I ain't got no kids. Who told you that?
I believe I saw the records.
No, you can't prove that.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I hear you're paid by the pound of poop you collect. How do you attract...
Those are cigar butts. They're not poop.
I beg to differ with
you. I'm telling you, I saw it in the record. It's cigar butts.
We have evidence, Ambassador Gar.
I think this interview's over.
Okay, but I just want to know one thing. How is it that we have more geese in Elmhurst, in the parks, than before you started your job?
I got nothing to say. I had nothing more to say. Goodbye.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Mr. Ambassador Gar.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world at 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
And we're back here in the hot tub with Elmhurst Mayor Steve Morley, continuing our discussion. And right now we're going to talk a little bit about city business.
Mr. Mayor, tell us a little bit about TIFs. I mean, at a very high level, what are they?
TIFs, tax increment financing. So a TIF is basically...
Steve, you could say we're having a TIF.
But a different type, T-I-F-F, I think, would be our TIF.
The abbreviation.
PK.
Yeah, yeah.
TIF is, in a nutshell, TIF is borrowing from future property tax dollars and using that as incentive for current today investment or development. So basically what happens in a TIF district, so you certainly TIFs are controlled by law in the state of Illinois. You have to meet certain requirements to meet TIF standards. Not to bore you, there's 13 different facets of a TIF, and if you meet three of the 13, you can create a TIF district. Most of the TIFs in Elmhurst that we've put together meet somewhere between 5 and 8 of the criteria. But in general, let's say you've got a developer that wants to come into town, and there's a piece of empty property, and it might be contaminated. It may be there was a gas station or a dry cleaner or something on there. And that's really kind of the barrier to entry for why somebody doesn't want to come in. Or they need utilities. A lot of the new developments need a much bigger utility hookup, whether it's sewer or electric or what have you. And what we will do is, let's just say that somebody wants to come into town and they want to build an apartment building, but the math doesn't make sense for them if they have to clean the site and if they have to bring utilities. Let's say cleaning the site and bringing utilities to this piece of property is going to run them $1.5 million, and when they add that into their spreadsheet, it doesn't really make financial sense for them to build the development. Well, we will partner with them, a public-private partnership. And ultimately, the good news is it's really a win-win. So you have this empty piece of property or maybe a dilapidated piece of property that can't get over the hump in terms of an investment. Well, the city can come in and we can say, okay, Mr. Developer, we're going to help you with some of it. And the end result is we get basically an annuity, a tax annuity in perpetuity, ultimately when it's built. So let's say someone comes in and they put in a 100-unit apartment complex that wasn't going to be there without our help. May have cost us $1 million to get them here, but the apartment complex results in maybe $500,000 or $600,000 increment in taxes every year. So that's TIFs in a nutshell.
That's a business case. That makes total sense.
There you go. Thank you. And I can tell you this. Somebody asked me at the State of the City what was the most misunderstood thing about TIFs, and it is, regardless of the incentive that we provide, it's always the decisions that are made by the council, and it has to be passed by the council, are a win-win. So, you know, whether it's a $100,000 incentive or a $1 million incentive, if you look at the total package, the city always gets paid back for any investments that it puts in, but then ultimately long-term, the tax incentive will pay out.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the city right now in terms of large developments that the residents may not know.
You know what we have? Well, certainly the I think everybody knows, like, the absolute center of Elmhurst, I would consider right there by the fountain. The Plas Appliance building's been torn down, and that's being rebuilt, or being there's a new building in place there. That's going to be two stories of Class A office space on the top two stories, and then I think the retail on the first floor has 14-foot clearance. So it can be retail or restaurants. There's also two major projects going in. Oh, one thing about that Plas Appliance that not a lot of people know, and you won't be able to tell until it's open, the old Plas Appliance building,
it has a name on it now.
York Building.
The York Building. Yeah, it's called the York Building.
Yeah.
Named after Alderman Kevin York, correct?
I think it, he of the bike shorts.
Yes.
We actually bought 4 feet when that transaction happened. We bought 4 feet of property from them. So we actually are widening the walkway between York Street and Addison, which is part of the plan. We want to make that a walking area that people know about. So that's going in. And then if you follow that walkway over to Addison, we actually had a I don't want to say a demographer, but we actually had a specialist come in.
Cartographer.
Possibly a cartographer, Rick. We had a guy come in, Tracy Cross and Associates, and they said that based on the amount of traffic that we have downtown and our population, get that cat out of here, that we could turn Addison into the same type of thoroughfare as York Street if we put the investment into it. So right now we put up the 690-unit parking spaces, parking deck, and across the street from that, FFC, Fitness Formula Center, is going in. That's going to be, depending on the numbers, somewhere between $12 and $15 million building that's going in, high-end health club. And just down the block from that, a little bit south of there, the Opus development, 160 apartment buildings, 160 luxury apartment apartments, not buildings, but just one,
you know,
just one building.
As long as you mention that, I was doing a little research and I looked back to your campaign in 2013. Uh-oh. And at that point in time, you were kind of leaning toward hoping that the developers would put in condos as opposed to apartments. And obviously, amen, they didn't, and the, you know, developers know what sells. So address that a little bit.
You know, that's a great question, Rick. You have to understand the market. You know, we're politicians, myself and the aldermen. It's not really what we want. As you mentioned before, I have a degree in economics, and I'm a real free market kind of guy. I think that the Elmhurst 255, the Hahn Street development, which was originally going to be condos, that took almost 8 to 10 years to get off the ground. And I think there's been a whole mentality change in the United States about ownership of property versus rental. I know my kids who are young, you know, my son the other day, who's a sophomore in college, said to me, "Dad, why would I ever buy anything? It just holds you down. It keeps you somewhere." And, you know, 255 kind of broke the mold in Elmhurst, where we wanted condos originally. The market would only bear rentals, and the market knew what it was doing. The folks who put up these units can only get financing for rentals. And quite frankly, Elmhurst 255 is fantastic. My in-laws live there. It's full. They are probably 6 months ahead of schedule in terms of being full. So they kind of broke the mold, and Elmhurst realized that it wasn't the end of the world to have luxury apartments versus condos.
And there's a public parking aspect of that too.
Yeah,
right?
there's actually four individual retail spaces at the front of that building, and 100 parking spots, public parking spots for the city of Elmhurst in that development. But that really, you know, that's apartments, and it really paved the way for other luxury apartments, which Opus is going to be.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question for you. Right across from the post office, there's a gas station. It used to be a gas station a long time ago, and they have train parking there now. Is there any plans to do anything with that parcel?
You know what? Bobby, is it?
Robbie.
Robbie. See, Robbie. I knew I was going to get that wrong.
Rick and Robbie.
You know, I want to call him PK. You probably have the same issue. I want to call him Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So
NASCAR. Get her done.
Robbie.
Yes, sir.
That is a privately owned piece of property. It's where, when I was little, my mom used to take our Aspen station wagon to get our brakes done.
To Paul.
The Chrysler Aspen?
Was Paul the guy there?
He's the guy I remember.
I would always take my Aspen up to Larry Roche Chrysler Jeep Dodge.
Elmhurst Chrysler Plymouth.
It didn't exist at the time. Yeah. See? So, but anyway, to answer your question there.
Is the owner of that property in town?
The owner of the property has deep roots in town.
Okay.
I don't want to let that person out. But I know that there's been a lot of talk about that. It is for sale, and it is in our TIF district. So it has an opportunity to be redeveloped. I would say since I've been mayor about 5 years, there's probably been four or five contracts that got very close. I'm going to make this prediction, Bobby. Thanks for bringing it up.
Robbie.
You can call me Jeff, George, whatever.
All right, Bobby.
Jeff George, great quarterback.
Illinois.
Purdue University first, and then he transferred to University of Illinois.
But now he's...
Who's keeping track?
And his son is playing at Illinois and leaving.
Yeah, where's he going?
He's pretty much a bust.
Well, he's transferring somewhere else.
So I would say sometime before I am done with my next term, in the next 3 years, I'm going to predict that property gets sold. Yes. All right.
Fantastic. What projects do you currently have in the hopper, or at least in the plans, as it relates to stormwater retention?
Stormwater. You know, I did not want to be the stormwater mayor, but Somebody wake up PK. Stuff, PK. PK's going to slip under the water. Actually, he's outside in the lawn chair. He's so cold, he's falling asleep. you know what? In terms of stormwater, we hired Christopher Burke Engineering out of DuPage County. He's the,
Where's that?
He's the godfather of stormwater mitigation.
DuPage County. I don't know.
And we've gotten 9 projects done in a very short amount of time. We have 2 projects left that we're hoping to get done that aren't in process. So stormwater is such a big issue. In a 100-year storm, Elmhurst has a 121-acre-foot problem. And right now, we've mitigated about 85 acre feet. We have a little more to go. We'd like to get some cooperation from the schools at York High School and at Jackson Elementary School. There's opportunities there. Biggest issue that Elmhurst faces is that we're landlocked and we're a very mature community. So if you go out west and you look at Plainfield or Naperville, when they have a new development, about a third of it is dedicated to stormwater. Well, we don't do that. We didn't do that in Elmhurst 150 years ago, so we're kind of paying for it now.
I will say that you know, there was a lot of controversy surrounding the York Commons project and what that would do to that space, and it looks beautiful. It looks pretty much the same as it did before, but it's a few feet lower.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what these things are. Ultimately, we have to create the cheapest, the biggest bang for the buck when it comes to stormwater mitigation is finding open areas near the flooding and creating what I'll call these grass dishes. And that's what we've done. If you look around, some of them, like the York Commons one, it is what it is. It's just a grass field. And kids can play in it. There's nothing wrong with it. If we have a severe storm, it'll fill up. Or there's another one over there on Webster. We call it the Webster project. It's over...
Webster between St. Charles and Webster, just east of Fair.
Yeah, just east of Fair, just east of Sandburg Junior High. If you look in that, that one's designed a little differently. We actually put prairie grass in there, and we use plants that actually do well in a wet situation. So that looks more like a meadow.
And it takes a couple of years for that to really grow in generally.
Yeah, we just finished a year and a half on that. So it just grew in toward the end of this last summer.
So next summer it looked pretty good probably.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Mayor, there's a place that might be an opportunity for some stormwater retention. What about the city scrap heap up by Bryan Junior High? Could that be something?
Well, that's interesting you'd put it that way, Bobby, Robbie. The scrap heap that you're referring to, I think Alderman Molliner calls it a dump or a junkyard. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
That's actually owned by the school district, District 205. And we tried our best to come to an agreement with them, with District 205, but unfortunately it didn't happen. And I would say about 2 years into negotiations, which are 2 years longer than they should have been, our city council said to our city manager, you need to come up with an alternative plan to addressing that junk heap. And the city manager did. He ultimately, we ended up going across the street. There's a church there, Messiah Lutheran. It's sandwiched in between Royal York and Timothy Christian. And we ended up buying property behind that church, and we're going to be putting in water retention there. So as much as we would have liked to address that junk heap that you're talking about, that's school property. It's still their property. We couldn't come to an agreement with those folks, so we had to move on.
The cost of water from the city of Chicago, tell me what you know about that, what the future is as it relates to our water costs in Elmhurst, and what we might be doing here to reduce those costs in the future.
You know, well, that's a good question. I would think it was in 1985, 1986, the city of Elmhurst and DuPage County ran a pipe from the city of Chicago out to the western suburbs. And at the time, we agreed to purchase our water from Chicago. And about the only caveat, now this is certainly much before my time on the council, but the only caveat we had was the city of Chicago could not charge us any more than they charge their residents. Raccoon or cat?
It's a raccoon.
Raccoon. The city of Elmhurst couldn't charge us any more than they charge their residents. The problem is that we all believe the city of Chicago charges way too much for water, but we're locked into a contract with no sunset. So basically, we are dependent on the city of Chicago and their ability to manage the water supply and what they charge for it. So we're kind of locked into that contract. So if the city of Chicago, which they have done, has increased our water costs, I want to say almost 100% in the last 5 years. So let's say the residents of Elmhurst have a water increase of 12% in their bill. There's a pretty good chance if you dig into it that probably 11.5% of that is the direct pass-along cost. Now, I believe we run our water fund as an enterprise fund, which means it has to pay for itself. We don't necessarily bill for a profit. But the biggest driver in the increase in the water costs in the last, well, since I've been elected the last 10 years, has been straight increases by the city of Chicago. And we don't have any control over that based on the contract. There is one town, I can't remember what town it is. There is a town that is considering a lawsuit to try to get us out of that contract or at least allow us to renegotiate. But right now, based on the contract we signed, I want to say it was in 86, we're beholden to the city of Chicago in terms of our water pricing.
So we won't be taking water out of Salt Creek anytime soon?
I don't think we are. But that's an interesting idea.
And sometimes there's a surplus.
I'll be doing bottled water.
Doesn't interest you, huh? O'Hare Airport. What can you tell us about O'Hare? What's going on with the expansion and how that may affect the residents of Elmhurst?
About 14, 15 years ago, O'Hare Airport developed a plan called the OMP, the O'Hare Modernization Plan. And basically, if you stretch it out, the ultimate goal was to bring O'Hare Airport into the 21st century. And if you look at any major airport, first of all, O'Hare is, on any given day, the busiest airport.
The site of Atlanta?
The busiest airport in the United States, if not in the top three. It's a toss-up between Atlanta and sometimes L.A., and O'Hare's always in there. So we're in the top three. O'Hare, the way it was designed, and I can't tell you the history of why it was designed this way, but O'Hare is one of the few airports that had did not have the majority of their runways running east-west. So based on weather patterns in the United States, all of the airports in the United States run east-west. They just do. O'Hare had an inordinate amount of diagonal runways that don't necessarily run east-west. So the O'Hare Modernization Plan that was developed some 15 years ago said that, okay, O'Hare, as it's terribly busy and it's the lifeblood of Chicago and we need it for a whole bunch of reasons, we're going to build a bunch of parallel runways, some north of the terminal, some south of the terminal. And that's the long-term O'Hare Modernization Plan. And that, when it's completely built out, is very, very good for Elmhurst. If anybody who's familiar with O'Hare and Elmhurst's proximity is we're south of O'Hare. So the more they run east-west, the less traffic we get. In 2013, they closed one of their diagonal runways, and they opened up a different runway. They refigured their trafficking. So all you folks who grew up in town, you know that you used to be able to look up, and you could actually see the windows of the airplanes when you were a little kid. Remember that? And then they started, making the planes a little quieter. They started making their descents and arrivals or their takeoffs a little higher so you'd see less of the planes. Well, in 2013, Elmhurst noticed a significant drop in airplanes going over Elmhurst. Great for us. We've been putting up with the traffic for 50-some-odd years. The problem is when the reconfiguration happened, a lot of the east-west communities, Chicago certainly being one of them, and all the communities on the east and west started getting more traffic, and they weren't happy about it. And the problem is that from a number of municipalities, Elmhurst is outnumbered. So there's all these individual groups that popped up. There's FAIR, there's ONCC, a whole bunch of different groups that popped up that are supposed to address, and a lot of them are political. They're very political, but they're supposed to address the takeoff patterns and the arrival patterns at O'Hare. And the ONCC is really the big brother in all of these. O'Hare, ONCC, O'Noise Commission. And we're a member. We're a member of ONCC. But to give you an example, so it was quiet in Elmhurst for a little while, and then ONCC came up with this rotation plan for flights. It's important for people to understand that from an operational standpoint, O'Hare is designed to run east-west. And this rotation of runways, they only do it for about 5% of the flights at night. And it's a real pain in the butt for the people who run O'Hare to actually do this. But there's a lot of political pressure from my fellow mayor, Rahm, among others, to do what they can to address the folks who have a problem. So about 5% of the takeoffs and landings are going to be controlled by a runway rotation plan. ONCC recently approved a runway rotation plan. O'Hare is controlled by the FAA, which is a federal organization. So ONCC has to take that plan that they approved, and they have to send it to the FAA. The FAA has to evaluate it, and then they'll come up with a plan that can be in place while O'Hare continues to be built out. So this O'Hare modernization plan is supposed to be done in about 2022. And to give you an idea where Elmhurst stands on that, we voted against the Bob Dunn is our representative. He's an alderman. He's our representative on ONCC. We voted against the runway rotation plan that they put forth, ONCC, but we were outvoted 50-8.
It's close.
So we did what we could. We've made it known. We've talked to Congressman Quigley and Congressman Raj. I can't pronounce his last name, and I asked him how I should address him. He said him. He told me specifically when I met with him, call me Congressman Raj. So Congressman Raj and Congressman Quigley are both aware of Elmhurst's feelings on the runway rotation, and we'll wait and see.
In the lowdown, I'll take a quick break with Mayor Steve Morley. I see my partner in crime, Robbie's leg is bouncing, so we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
And that's the end of part one of our interview with Elmhurst Mayor Steve Morley. Check back later this week for the rest of the interview.